All right. Well, make sure you're comfortable as always. Hi, Kyra. And well, for Nicole, we're just going to share a meditation, and then there'll be a little break, and then there'll be some time for conversation. So when you're ready, you can, or you can keep your eyes open, but I think it's nice to close your eyes. Tune out a bit of your experience. Tuning in somewhere. I don't know. When we close our eyes, we something else comes onto the radar. We close our eyes when we go to sleep. We close our eyes when we're tired, when we meditate, which is supposedly what we're going to do together here. When we are resting, praying. And if there's anything else you'd like to do when you're praying or resting, sometimes people like to place their bodies in a certain way or their hands. And of course, feel free or trust the change that might occur while we spend time like this together with your body, with your hands. Hands, when I was recently in Europe, well, I am in ex-Europe, I'm in England, but I was in Luxembourg last weekend, and I visited these beautiful old churches, and there were these frescoes everywhere, sort of half faded out. And I'm sure you've seen middle-age frescoes, and the hands are so expressive of something to do with the sacred. So feel your hands and trust your hands. Maybe they have a very direct connection to your heart. And to the invisible. And your breath. Feeling your breath. Maybe there's a feeling that the breath can align both with the feeling in your heart, in your body heart, and with the invisible. And I really don't know what I mean by that. Except maybe it resonates. That you don't need to change the breath really, but maybe it's just a matter of when we close our eyes like this in the shrine, the breath immediately is sanctified. And again, I don't know what I mean by that. Maybe this meditation is going to be a succession of things that don't make rational sense. And then also we can feel our body, just your whole body sitting. Most of us, I think all of us are sitting. And there's this natural connection with gravity, with the earth, sense of being drawn down vertically. Feeling your pelvis, the cradle of your being, resting on the cradle that is the earth. Letting your thighs, your legs, your hips be supported by the earth. And on the other pole, there's a sense of, I don't know what to call it, the opposite of gravity, a sense of, I'm not going to say the word, a sense of, it's up. Somehow. And it connects our body with, dare I say, the heaven, the heavens, the mystery above. And so our bodies, when we are in meditation, our body and its alignment also is sanctified. In the sense that it recognizes something very sacred in this simple verticality, very mysterious. And there's really nothing else to do, nothing to do. Except to welcome the moment by moment experience. Rather than sort through experience, when we meditate, we welcome experience. Without having any agenda with it. And in that sense, experience is sanctified. Simply because it's recognized to arise freely in the now. In presence. And by experience, of course, I mean everything that we perceive moment by moment. And that we usually categorize as elements in the story of me. With every thought and every feeling and every sensation referring to me and my life and what's going on and what happened and what will happen. And that's so very natural and human, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when we are in the shrine, the reference becomes not so much me, the person, but the reference becomes presence or the invisible or whatever your word is for that. And that should be restful, not a source of more thinking, because it means there's absolutely nothing to categorize or label. The me that we usually identify with is itself seen to be part of the flow of experience, part of the flow of thoughts and feelings and sensations. The idea of my past and my future, though, that's just a thought. When you're in the shrine, not that is also a thought when you're outside the shrine, but it's a relevant thought. But here and now, it isn't. I mean, it is what it is, but it doesn't need to refer to the person. It can be like a petal that you offer to the altar. And in fact, there isn't even a you that can do the offering to the altar. It's just offered. Everything is offered, moment after moment, effortlessly. There's the breathing, there's the thinking, there's the feeling and the sensing, there's the perceiving of this voice. And then there is this quality, a quality of spaciousness, of openness, in which all of this unfolds. And I know that you're feeling quite a lot of density and tension. Difficulty, suffering, perhaps difficult feelings. And that's right. Of course, when the body and the mind are placed in a spaciousness, in a welcoming quality, the layers begin to surface. The things that we usually sort of gloss over or push down or file away or project out or whatever our strategies are. Those layers, we don't tamper with them, so they are free to surface. But don't forget they're surrounded with kindness. That's the quality here. The welcoming, the invisible space of meditation. It's a quality of kindness. It's not really the right word, but it's the best I can come up with. It's a quality that doesn't do any of the things that hurt. Nor does it engage. So it's a sort of impersonal kindness. My teacher used to say benevolent indifference. I prefer impersonal kindness. Intimate. So if there is something difficult in your body, it could be just a tension in the body, feeling of pain, or if it's a feeling. A sadness, fear, foreboding, anxiety, something that you know well and don't like. When you're outside the shrine. Which means that you place a layer of resistance on top of it, and then another, and another. And you get busy with it, and you make a plan. and you try to avoid it, or you try to face it, try to go deeper with it. You try this and you try that, and it's relentless. But here, in a way, there's just a raw moment by moment, whatever. Nothing gets identified, really. Everything is a child of the invisible, whether it's tension in your shoulders or a feeling of grief in your heart. Or the very unpleasant sensation of anxiety in your wherever solar plexus or belly. Or whether it's a feeling of peace and joy. Everything is equal. But it sometimes still needs to be explained in a sort of tactile way to those feelings that are particularly difficult, that seem to say, no, this isn't okay. If I allow this, it's gonna be more and more uncomfortable, more and more unbearable, overwhelming. So you sort of tactily, with your tactile sense, it's like you whisper with your tactile listening, you're welcome. No, don't worry, there's infinite space here. You're a raw feeling arising in limitlessness. And this limitlessness is bathing you. And you are made out of it, you say to the difficult feeling. And you don't have to dissolve, you say, to the difficult feeling. You don't have to do anything. You can stay there forever. It doesn't matter. Still, you're made out of the vast openness. And don't feel sh you have to keep your body still. My body is always moving. Sometimes it's moving energetically. I mean, we all are moving energetically, but I guess I invite you to really feel that the movement of energy is one way of allowing the holding of me as the body to begin to unwind. So it's important not to hold the movement back, and if there's physical movement that sort of marries the movement of energy, slow and sort of subtle movement of the body as you listen and follow the meditation, really allowing that, allowing the breathing to shift its tone, sometimes a deep breath, a sigh. And then sometimes coming back to the stillness, coming back to the immobility of the body. But it's kind, it's gentle, not rigid. It's like, ha, take me. It says, take me, great openness. Please. Take everything. Or at least permeate. Permeate my face, my shoulders, my heart, my belly. Permeate my breath, my eyes, my mouth. My nose, the air that filters through my nose, permeate my ears, the sounds. Permeate the ear canals so they can relax and open. Permeate the palms of my hands so they can remember what they are. So they can remember their intimate connection with the surrounding openness. And maybe as you again let your body move, your eyes are closed, just see what the movement is. A spinal movement, the head is moving, the shoulders, the vertebrae. And you ask, please permeate my movement with openness. Permeate the body with a sort of lubrifying fluid, kindness. And your body is moving, and you're not really doing it. This sort of ocean of openness in which everything arises is creating currents that are moving and taking the body with it. Let your head, your arms, your fingers, your elbows, maybe the arms can float away, your hands touching whatever they're touching. Really let this body of yours come undone in something very big, fluid. Nobody's looking, your eyes are closed. You don't even have to remember the feeling of being a cohesive body. Just go with every little a tingle or pulsation, breath, the little aches in your shoulders, let those drive a movement. with the current, opening your arms out into the space and your head and your neck, your fingers reaching, touching, maybe. Armpits opening, exploring without doing. What does that mean? It means you allow something from the invisible to take the body. Let the currents travel into the difficulty, whether it's in the body as a sensation or in the emotional body. Let the movements reach the difficult place in the body and see what happens. Let the breath also help. And here's the movement, getting busy with the difficult place. What's it doing? Is it unraveling? Is it combing out? Is it shaking? Is it touching with invisible hands? And don't worry about it. If the words don't make sense, if it doesn't resonate, you just let whatever's happening for you take you. Your face, your mouth. Let the movements of openness travel into your face, into your mouth, into your forehead, to your hair and to your teeth. Yes, makes absolutely no sense to the rational mind. Let the movement work its way into the brain, right up there in the skull. And then very naturally, there's going to be a sort of gathering back towards stillness, towards that place of that is sanctified already, a place of verticality, of resting the weight of the body on the cradle of the earth, and the shoulders, they naturally are dropping. And the legs, they also are sinking down as if in quicksand. And the spine rising out of the pelvis. And feel your pelvis. I mean, that is a sacred space. Think about it, your pelvis, your sexual area, where everything starts. Well, in terms of human generative energy, your sexual area, your perineum, your anus. Allow yourself to really taste that place with your breath. Let it rise and expand if there's a sensation that usually we push it away. That it's so powerful that usually we don't feel anything when we first direct our attention towards the pelvis. So don't worry if you don't, but be open. And the breath moving very low in the abdomen. Not we're listening very specifically, but we're not trying not to manufacture anything. It's shy, the body, you see, especially that area. It's on the lookout for violent or unkind energy. But feel that no, in the shrine, it's safe. You can feel the root of your pelvis stirring, your perineum relaxing against the support of the earth, your breath. Allowing that to be your headquarter rather than your head, your pelvis. Ah, yes. Maybe tiny little movements, little circles, little movements with your pelvis just to say hello. Hello, and I'm sorry to ignore you so much. And then see where your attention goes naturally. And if I don't direct it, it might go to another area of the body, or it might move all the way back into the openness, in a way, merging with the openness. That's what our attention does in meditation. Sometimes we come quite close to a feeling or an experience, as if to listen to it more, as if to whisper to it, yes, I welcome you. No, I don't know you. I will take off the label. I want to know you, so I will cease to know you. It's a paradox. Everything we experience usually is labeled. Tension in my shoulders, fear, this, that, and the other. And so here we approach and we say, I don't know you. I just want to know you. Directly. And then at another moment, the attention relaxes away from experience, from the content, as if it was merging with the sky. As if, you were losing interest altogether with anything that is an experience, and your whole devotion is turned towards the invisible. You've orbited experience, you've launched yourself with your love of God as your spaceship. You've launched yourself outside the gravitational pull of experience. And of course, this isn't possible. It's just a poetic image. And in fact, it often reveals the power of gravity, of conditioning, of always being drawn back to me, the body mind. We try to sort of move away from the content, merge with borderlessness. And of course, we do, because we are that in essence. But at the same time, we can't. It's a paradox, because we are also who we each are, with a body and a story. But when you come back, when you've tried to launch yourself out there and you feel the pull back to me, the body, me, located here in the heart, in the belly, in the shoulders, in the jaw, well, you let it happen, but you don't have to disconnect from the ocean of presence. You become the wave, you feel yourself to be the wave. You attend to the wave, but you still feel the infinite ocean. And you can let all these words wash away. Sometimes we're graced with silence coming into the foreground, like an embrace. And again, movement is arising for me. Feel if you want, you could stay in the stillness, but if you feel drawn, let your head and your neck trace some circle, a circle, very slow, very smooth, not too big. And instead of feeling that you live inside the body, feel that you live as the openness. And you have no idea about a head and a neck. You just rip, feeling the ripple in you, this ripple of sensation. You are this borderlessness. Yes, and then the direction changes. But feel that you don't change direction, you just stay as this openness. And notice the difference when between the moment you locate yourself right inside the body and then you say, no, I don't live in the body. The body lives in me. I am the openness. Yes, now let your head come back all by herself. You're the openness. The head floats back to a place. Oh, you're. Head knows exactly how to be guided back. And again, do you live inside the head, or is that feeling li living being perceived inside you as the openness? When you're in meditation like that, you don't need to live inside the head. It might be useful at other times, but right now, why not live as this vast field and let the sensation of your eyes, of your forehead, of your skull, of your jaw, of your teeth, let all those sensations float or dance or whatever they do in you. Swim in you. Now feel your shoulders and just slowly bring your shoulders up towards your ears. Very slowly, and again, feel you don't do it, it just happens. Your forearms are just w hanging weightlessly, and your shoulders are moving up towards your ears, and then they're floating back down, and you don't live in the shoulders. You're just this ocean, tasting this ripple, and there might be some so-called unpleasantness, but don't label it, let it be. Yes, and now making circles, bring your elbows out to the side, the right and the left side. Excuse me. And then just trace circles with your elbows in the space, slow and smooth. I don't live in the body. The body lives in me. Smooth. And now the other way. And the breath is free. And it's intense in the shoulders. But hey, let those sensations swim in you. Don't avoid, taste. It's more fun that way. Yes, let your arms dissolve back down, 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 down your shoulders, your arms, your fingers, your palms, your whole arms are sort of flowing down. Your body's tender, vulnerable, alive. It's not meant to be neutral or always feeling relaxed and pleasant. It's a very intense thing, a body. Always caught between two poles, life and death. Tension and relaxation, openness and contraction, it's very intense. Alive. And we are a culture who have identified with being a thinker. It'd be better to identify with life. Just I am life. A life that includes death, of course. I am creation. I am part of creation and I am creation. Now feel your whole torso and maybe lift your arms off your lap and slowly, like a ghost rising out of your tomb at night. Move your torso, turn your torso towards the left very slowly, like a ghost. So there's no effort, just. Yeah, so you have to stop before the effort comes in. And now to the right side, slowly, like a ghost. Smooth, nowhere to go, nobody doing it. And again to the left, feel I don't live in the body, this sensation of the torso, it's rippling in me. I am the openness. And again to the left, don't do it. Just be the openness, tasting. Yes. And the torso comes back. And let it happen. Let it come back all by itself. And the arms, they're floating down. Hello, you say to the body. Welcome, body, life, heart, breath. Reuniting with a surrounding field of creation. You say that to your body. Look, that's what we're doing with Ellen. We're reuniting. Say that to your legs and your pelvis as they rest against gravity, against the floor, and let gravity do its work and say, hello. This is part of how it works, this feeling of gravity down. Touching with my fingers, whatever it is I'm touching, the texture of the rug or the chair, the cushion. Feel with your tip, the tips of your fingers. Hello. The temperature. Maybe there's a sense, a sort of vibration in the field. Something that unifies everything, as if you could hear it. And if you do sense that vibration, give yourself completely over to it. And if you don't feel the vibration, no worries. Be open to the possibility that you can feel it and give yourself over to it. Shakti. And don't do anything. We'll take 5 minutes and come back. So go gently, and it's almost half past on my clock. So let's come back at 25 to. Thank you. And welcome back. Feel free to speak or ask or share. It's a small group, so just wave, unmute, and
Hi, Ellen.
hi there, who's talking? Yet.
Janet.
Hi, Janet.
I just wanted to, well, I can still remember it. When I stood up, I have increasingly painful knees, and so and sitting is hard for some reason for them. And when I stood up, I could, and I was just there in the space, I could feel how, decade, well, I don't know, 18 year, 15 years of being in Catholic school with nuns telling me to stand up straight, this kind of old, that old conditioning of stand up straight, and along with this kind of new sense of pulling myself upward to get off of my painful knees. And so I could feel those two things, but what happened was, as I stood and just sensed into that sense of, what's animating this body is not is all of is something else than I think, and letting that animation, it just sort of naturally put me into an upright posture, and my knees didn't hurt. Was kind of a miracle. It was just so, I don't know, such a potent kind of example of how I want to move through the world, or how that how the possibility of how it could be moving through the world. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be amazing if we could move? I mean, I'm struck by what you're saying, Janet, and it's funnily enough, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, and what, why can't we? And what, why are we in a, why? Why?
Yeah, my sentiments exactly.
and yet the sweetness, the exquisite sweetness of those moments when not only is there a recognition at the level of the mind and at the level of the heart, but actually in the flesh, there is this sort of sweet, it's a sweetness. It's and I guess it's just the way it is. It's the way God both hides and reveals herself, itself, himself. And where the joke is on us, like we're sometimes sometimes it's all sweetness and it's all miraculous, and then the next moment we're out there and it's just, ah, what the fuck? Anyway.
Anyway, thank you, Ellen.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you for sharing. And well, and I'm sure you can cultivate it. I mean, I'm ranting. Because I find the human adventure sometimes quite something.
Yeah, well, I am cultivating it, you know,
Yeah, yes, you are.
if I
Yes,
keep
you
showing up.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Yeah. Something about kindness and definitely not about any exercises you might do. Although, I'm sure there are some exercises you might do, but this is another kind of paradigm here. Yeah.
Yeah, I really did feel that sense of that's exactly the word, is that kindness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Hi, Ellen.
that you, Jackie? Or who's
Oh,
talking?
it's Greg. It's Greg. I'm saying
Oh, Greg,
hello.
wait, where are you? I can't see you. Where are
I
you? Don't know where you are. That's good.
don't know.
Oh, there you are. I can see you. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was real enjoyable, the meditation today for me. And I just want to thank you. It feels like the kindness you're talking about, kind of instead of leading to more meanness, it just leads to the beingness. Like that a lot. And the beingness is so free, so absolutely free. And then it seems like the chores of my life are a lot more fun.
I know what you mean, Greg. It's nice to have you here.
Yeah, nice to be here.
Yeah.
The time isn't good for me, but
Oh, really?
yeah, about an
Well,
hour later would be much better for me, but I still will attend anyway.
is it because it's too early, or it's because you're working or something?
It's the one time that I have to share with the together with Rosanna, but
Oh, well, I don't know what to say, but tell Rosanna it makes you a more sweet and kind when you come out of the venue.
exactly, my feeling exactly. All right.
And give her my love, by the way.
All right, we'll do.
This is Jackie. This is a time of year where, well, I was going to say I ask my body to do a lot, but I don't really ask. And so this was so remarkable. My body feels so heard and seen that it feels better than it feels when I wake up in the morning after sleep, because it's well, for two reasons. One, it's because it's being seen and heard, and it's doing what it's at, what it's leading, not following or trying to follow. And the other is such where you led us to such a beautiful awareness of the body being within a much wider space, a much, and so it has the freedom to, it has the space to move as quickly or slowly and wherever it wants, rather than being told what to do. It's quite remarkable. Thank you.
Jackie, no, don't go so quickly. Really putting into words in a way is an opportunity to, and you're doing it, and everybody who speaks it, to speak exactly in that same way. Or try to let those, and you, I should just feel you were doing that, Jackie. It was very, very nice. So just, I don't know, just letting yourself be spoken and saying things that are simple in a way, but true in the moment, and so we hear you. And again, like, it's a bit like Janet. It's like, well, hopefully it will tug you by the sleeve when you're doing all the things you do in the summertime. Is it gardening?
It's a lot of gardening.
Although, like gardening, You don't have to remember this, but gardening is so wholesome, I guess. I think I love garden. Like I love, you know, and so of course after that you're like, ouch, I did too much. But there's something about that that's also quite simple and wholesome
And nurturing.
and
I'm
very nurturing. And for the
listening.
physical body, you know, for the muscles and the and so yeah, maybe you're pushing your body, but there's a place for that. It's especially if it comes from an, you know, a sort of enthusiasm or desire. But I guess it sounds like maybe you have a big garden, or do you have a big garden?
I have a big garden, yes.
So things need to be done.
Yes, they do, and I'm learning ways to make it easier on my body to do those things. Less bending over, less kneeling, more, taller tools and things
A
like
few
that. So,
slaves, a few helpers.
a few help. Did you say slaves?
Yeah, but I meant it in
Yeah.
some young
Yeah.
person you can push around.
Well, I do have help when I ask for it here. Yes, thank you. Yeah, and it's I mean it's an amazing time of year here, so it's all worth it. And my body just was said, you can push me around a little bit. I can be pushed, and but I need you to listen at the same time.
Yes,
Listen,
exactly.
pushing at the same time. Yeah. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jack.
Ellen, thanks. I sort of feel like we're all having a version of our own version of a group experience, or at least what everyone has said, I can connect with. I sort of feel like I got off the you helped me get off the doing train. I've been on the doing train. There's a painter been painting for 6 weeks now, and it goes on and on. And I always think it's ending. And someone's arriving in a few days for 5 weeks, and someone's coming for lunch. But I always, when you take a break, I always take a break. But my break was not to take a break because I was in a break. And it was just, like a warm quietness that just something so quietly alive and just more being and not so feeling like there's so much to do. So thank you for that spaciousness. Very spacious. And I
Yeah,
really.
I mean, what you're saying f sounds simple, right? A simple and sort of ordinary, and yet when we touch in on that space in the now of, I don't know. I mean, I'm just gonna say what you said or repeat what I was saying earlier, but it is very, very nice. It's very nice
To
to
just,
be and not to be always in that mode of
yeah.
self-referencing in the past and futurizing and doing.
Yeah, the have to's, have to cover this, have to do that. And so it's just nice to sort of be guided into this, that as everyone is saying in their own way, the kind of spaciousness of allowing spaciousness to be the fall.
Spacious. Yeah.
Thank you. Really.
I think it is a group thing, though.
Yeah, it feels that way. And we all have our own way of expressing how we're touched. People that have spoken so far, and everyone who hasn't has their own spoken, has their own version. Something very warm and quiet. Thanks.
Just before coming on line, I was writing some pages, or actually paragraphs, of that was coming from a deeper place in my mind, my rational mind, and I got the download of the benevolence of my body when it is demanding my attention. My body right now is demanding my attention, and it's working, but it has to be just like the rest of the history of my life. It has to be dramatic. It has to be hit me on the fucking head, or the gut in this case. And just before coming up here, what came through was an invitation to have a relationship with my gut, and say to this, I will listen. I will listen. I will listen to you. And so just before coming up here, what I was writing was, I just started by saying, dear gut. And then I realized it was time to come to class, so I came running up to the house, and
Class.
and it was like telling Sandy this, and then I'm saying, oh, it's time for Ellen. I said, maybe my gut will respond in Ellen's class. And so of course this is, I mean, it was just absolutely perfect with the whole pelvic bowl being, the whole deal being sanctified. I mean, my gut is so grateful to be so cared for and met. And I feel like, that there was a benevolence behind the really intense bad symptoms that were just, amazing. But there was a benevolence behind it, the body insisting upon
I see what you're saying.
pay attention in this way.
I guess you could
Anyway.
say there's a benevolence behind everything, including.
Exactly.
I mean, it's hard to say that when you see what some of the dark things that happen in the world. But I guess if you reach deep enough, you realize there is benevolence behind everything. You're saying, it's not easy to recognize that when the gut hurts or when the body hurts or when our circumstance hurts or, obviously, and then bigger and bigger, then it's, becomes in fact impossible to see that at times until a miracle occurs. Sometimes the miracle be
Miracle.
grace. It reminds me of
Exactly.
that story of the people who were in the concentration camps and I can't remember what story I want to say, but the grace can descend anytime, anywhere, even in the darkest of.
Right.
Well, thank you for sharing, and I hope your gut will continue to
Speak to me in a
speak to you in a
little
better
less
way.
dramatic way. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Bye.
Nicole, I'm aware it's your first time, and I'm just aware of it. I just want to name that, and feel free to say hi or.
I was just thinking, perhaps I should say something, even if I don't have so much to say.
You don't have to.
Well, but just to say hello, because I felt sort of, well, it feels intimate being in the group. So I was like, maybe just to introduce myself,
Yes.
raise my voice. So it was wonderful to experience this. I was with you in Utrecht in the Netherlands.
Oh, okay.
That's how I know you.
I'm looking at you.
Sorry.
I'm just looking at you to see if I recognize because
It's some time ago.
Yeah.
So it's not completely new the way you guide this. And it's lovely. It's exactly what I wanted to experience, what I'm looking for as a practice, just how should I say that? Really investigating the almost like the boundaries, where the body stops and something else is so alive, and where it comes together again, and diving deeper in certain feelings, and then expansion, and just allowing that to happen. So that's
That's right. That's nice how you
really
say.
wonderful.
Well, it's wonderful how you express it. I'm really enjoying how everybody, I mean, I feel, thank you that we hear your voice, Nicole. And I really enjoy how everybody sort of puts into words. The part that sometimes difficult for me is that it's as if the setup was to say how lovely it was and all this kind of thing. But because it doesn't have to be like that. And if anybody has a different experience, I really want to say, please don't feel you can't chirp up and say this sucked, the big one, I hated it. And because otherwise it becomes very confining. But I believe everybody who spoke today was being genuine and in regards to their own experience. And so I guess I'm just saying it's really lovely to hear how each one of you, and now you, Nicole, find your words, how you say in and out. Because that's precious for you, each one of you. We each have such a unique way of languaging these explorations. First of all, of experiencing them, even though I'm guiding and I know I say quite a lot, but nevertheless, you're all on a very unique, irrational little adventure during these meditations. So it's so nice if you can then linger and put language or image or and then it's nice when the group is small and there's time to share a bit. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. It's time to end. Doris, I was going to say if you had anything, but we don't really have time, but I hope, are you okay? You're muted.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Ellen. I'm okay.
It's nice to see you.
Okay.
It's nice to see all of you, and I guess it's over for today, but thank you for coming. And don't laugh at me, Janet.
It's laughing. It's over for today. Not over. Not over for today.
Not over today. No, I mean, this is over.
I know.
We'll gather again for those of you who'd like in 2 weeks. Take good care.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you, Ellen.
Bye bye. Bye bye bye.
Bye, Maria.
Bye bye bye.